Everybody, this is Lizzie
and Crystal,
and we are with Passionate Spicy Sugar. Yay!
Yeah.
Crystal woke up a while ago. She slept into the afternoon.
Yeah, I took a nap.
Yeah, she took a nap,
which I have not taken in a long time.
Yay!
Mm-hmm.
Naps are nice. It
was great. Naps are amazing.
So today is going to be a clean episode, and it's going to be a clean episode because we have decided, I decided and then Crystal agreed.
Ranting and raving.
That today, instead of our normal, I think it would be a focus episode, which I guess you could call this a focus episode of sorts, but we are going to read probably a couple each of books that we rented, borrowed online from the Capital Area District Libraries. And then Crystal has one too, I think, that we both got at a convention at ShootoCon.
Yep.
I think it was. And we're reading this today so that those of you out there who have kids and, you know, you just want to maybe leave a story on for them to listen to. We're going to do our best to sound pleasant as we read these wonderful stories. And do you want to start, Crystal, or do you want me to start? What do you want to do?
You can start.
Okay. All right. So the book I'm starting with is The Great Sheep Shenanigans, and it is a picture book. So if you look it up, you and your child enjoys this story, you may be able to find it online or at your local library like we did. It is The Great Sheep Shenanigans by Peter Bentley and May Matsuoka. Peter Bentley and May Matsuoka. And it has like a very colorful inner like page when you first open it up. It's very pretty. A lamb for my supper will taste mighty fine, thought a wily old wolf by the name of Lupine, as he sneakily, slyly snuck up on the flock. But it wasn't the sheep who were in for a shock. He chuckled, "How stunningly cunning I am," as he slunk through the hedge and met Rambo the ram. "Scram!" bellowed Rambo. "Vamoose, steer clear. Wolves are not welcome. Buzz off out of here." He's looking very angry in the pictures. "What I need," grumbled Lou, "is a sheepy disguise to give those dumb muttons a nasty surprise." So he wrapped himself up in a fluffy white gown, what belonged to Ma Watson, the best shot in town. He lay on the road to get covered in gunk. "Bah," laughed the sheep, "it's an overgrown skunk." At the fair, Lou saw cotton candy on a stick. "My own candy fleas, what a fabulous trick." He flicked on the switch, and at first it was fun, but faster and faster and faster he spun. He looked in the mirror and felt his heart sink. He'd ended up dizzy and sticky and pink. Lou found a thicket of blossoming trees. Down came the blossoms, and down came the bees. "I know," spluttered Lou, "I've a brilliant plan. It's time for a trip to Red Riding Hood's gran." "Hello, Granny dearest, it's me, Little Red. My word, what a big ball of yarn," Granny said. Lou dropped his hood and declared, "All the better for you to get cracking and knit me a sweater. And if it's not done by the time I get back, I'll be in the mood for a grand flavored snack." The very next day, Lou returned for a fitting and had to admit Gran was dandy at knitting. He chuckled, "How smashingly dashing I am. Tonight I'll be scarfing a tasty young lamb." But Gran thought, "He'll pay me for knitting that woolly. I'll play my own trick on that nasty big bully." While Lou was looking, she grabbed a loose thread and tied it at once to the end of her bed. As he slipped through the hedgerow, some ewes looked up at old Lou and said, "Morning, my dear. Can you check on our lambs? They're behind that big tree." "I fooled them," thought Lou. "What a genius I am. Now shall I have cutlets or roast leg of lamb or chops and mint sauce or oven lamb stew or burgers? Moussaka? A lamb? Vindaloo?" He hungrily hurried as far as the tree and peered all about, but no lambs could he see. "They must be here somewhere. They can't have gone far. Come out, little lambkins, wherever you are." And then he heard footsteps. "Aha! Here's a lamb!" So Lou looked around and saw Rambo the ram. He aimed his big horns at the wolf's derriere and sent him skedaddling up in the air. "Ouch! My behind!" howled Lou as he flew and landed kersplat in a big pile of poo. "I think that's the last of the wolf and his wilds," laughed Rambo. "From now on, we'll smell him for miles." The end.
That was interesting. Fell in a pile of
poo. Yep. That's how it wraps up. Yuck. All right, Crystal, your turn.
Okay. So I have Floral Frolic by Kari Corrin and Amanda Coronado. And on the cover, it's like cute. Two cute little foxes. And it's very colorful. All the art in here is like watercolor. "Once upon a flower, there were two fox friends. Their names were Queenie and Dongsing. 'Let's pick flowers,' Dongsing said. Queenie agreed, but with one condition. 'I bet I can pick better flowers.' The two fox friends dashed in opposite directions. 'I'll pick flowers over here. I'll pick flowers over there.' Queenie found bee flowers. Dongsing found butterflowers, or butterflies from the looks of it, and the face that she's making is just so cute. Queenie almost picked big flowers. Dongsing picked one little flower. There were smelly flowers and sneezy flowers and earthy flowers and breezy flowers. Dongsing frolicked in pointy flowers. Queenie pounced in puffy flowers. Moon flowers dotted meadows like stars. Noon flowers stroked the sky, stroked the blue sunny sky. When the friends found each other again on that same serene meadow, they had so much fun they nearly forgot their contest, but they didn't quite forget. "My flowers are better," they each said at once. "These flowers are perfect." And there's like a little cat of some sort that has like a weird fox tail, but it's cute. Dongsing nearly fell over. Queenie really puffed up. Their friend, Rara, had surprised them as she leapt out from the tall grass of the meadow. She was excited to see the vibrant array of flowers. Rara knew what needed to be done to make them perfect. She tossed them into the air. Dongsing couldn't find her flowers anymore. Queenie wasn't sure which flowers were hers either. The flowers had settled back to the earth and made a perfect rainbow bouquet. The end.
Yay!
Yay.
Yay, perfect rainbow bouquet.
Rainbow bouquet. So what you got?
So the next story I'm going to read is called The Paper Bag Princess. And it is a story by Robert Munch, and that's spelled M-U-N-S-C-H. I believe it's pronounced Munch. With art by Michael Martchenko. And it has a little sticker, classic Munch. So he must be a regular writer. And this is another picture book. So another one that you can get and find online or purchase and show your kids all the lovely pictures that go along with it. Elizabeth was a beautiful princess. She lived in a castle and had expensive princess clothes. She was going to marry a prince named Ronald. Unfortunately, a dragon smashed through her castle, burned all her clothes with his fiery breath, and carried off Prince Ronald. Elizabeth decided to chase the dragon and get Ronald back. She looked everywhere for something to wear, but the only thing she could find that was not burnt was a paper bag. So she put on the paper bag and followed the dragon. He was easy to follow because he left a trail of burnt forest and horses' bones. Finally, Elizabeth came to a cave with a large door that had a huge knocker on it. She took hold of the knocker and banged on the door. The dragon stuck his nose out of the door and said, "Well, princess, I love to eat princesses, but I have already eaten a whole castle today. I am very busy, dragon. Come back tomorrow." He slammed the door so fast that Elizabeth almost got her nose caught. Elizabeth grabbed the knocker and banged on the door again. The dragon stuck his nose out the door and said, "Go away! I love to eat princesses, but I have already eaten a whole castle today. I am a very busy dragon. Come back tomorrow."
"Wait," shouted Elizabeth. "Is it true that you are the smartest and fiercest dragon in the whole world?"
"Yes," said the dragon.
"Is it true," said Elizabeth, "that you can burn up 10 forests with your fiery breath?"
"Oh, yes," said the dragon. And he took a huge deep breath and breathed out so much fire that he burnt up 50 forests.
"Fantastic," said Elizabeth. And the dragon took another huge breath and breathed out so much fire that he burnt up 100 forests.
"Magnificent," said Elizabeth. And the dragon took another huge breath.
But this time, nothing came out.
The dragon didn't even have enough fire left to cook a meatball.
Elizabeth said, "Dragon, is it true that you can fly around the world in just 10 seconds?
"Why, yes," said the dragon, and jumped up and flew all the way around the world in just 10 seconds. He was very tired when he got back. But Elizabeth shouted, "Fantastic! Do it again!" So the dragon jumped up and flew around the whole world in just 20 seconds. When he got back, he was too tired to talk, and he lay down and went straight to sleep.
Elizabeth whispered very softly, "Hey, dragon." The dragon didn't move at all. She lifted up the dragon's ear and put her head right inside. She shouted as loud as she could, "Hey, dragon!" The dragon was so tired, he didn't even move. Elizabeth walked right over the dragon and opened the door to the cave. And there was Prince Ronald. He looked at her and said, "Elizabeth, you are a mess. You smell like ashes. Your hair is all tangled and you are wearing a dirty old paper bag. Come back when you are dressed like a real princess."
"Ronald," said Elizabeth, "your clothes are really pretty. Your hair is very neat. You look like a real prince, but you are a bum." They didn't get married after all. The end.
Oh, wow.
I know. I like that one.
I think you like it because your name is Elizabeth.
No, I like it because she turns around and she's like, "I don't need you."
Don't think I didn't see what you did there.
I didn't even know until I started reading it.
Jesus. I guess I got one called Flat Stanley, his original adventure by Jeff Brown, and illustration by Mackie Panmintome. "Breakfast was ready. 'I'll go wake the boys,' Miss Lambchop said to her husband, George Lambchop. Just then, their younger son, Arthur, called from the bathroom he shared with his brother, Stanley. 'Hey, come and look, hey!' Mr. and Mrs. Lambchop, both very much in favor of politeness and careful speech. We're both very much in favor of politeness and careful speech. 'Hay is for horses, Arthur, not people,' Mr. Lambchop said as they entered the bedroom. 'Try to remember that.' 'Excuse me,' Arthur said, 'but look.' He pointed to Stanley's bed. Across it lay an enormous bulletin board that Mr. Lambchop had given the boys for a Christmas ago, so they could pin pictures and messages on maps. It had fallen during the night on top of Stanley. But Stanley was not hurt. In fact, he would still have been sleeping if he had not been woken with his brother's shout. 'What's going on here?' he called out cheerfully from beneath the enormous board. Mr. and Mrs. Lambchop hurried and lifted from the bed. Heavens, said Mrs. Lambchop. Gosh, said Arthur. Stanley's flat. As a pancake, Mr. Porkchop, Lambchop said. I don't know why I want to say pork chop. Darnest thing I've ever seen. Let's all have breakfast, Miss Lambchop said. Wow, she's just like, forget the kid is flat. Let's eat breakfast. Then Stanley and I will go see Mr. Dan and hear what he has to say. In his office, Dr. Dan examined Stanley all over. How do you feel? He asked. Does it hurt very much? I felt sort of tickly for a while after I got up, Stanley Lambchop said. But I feel fine now. Well, that's mostly how it is in these cases, said Dr. Dan. We'll just have to keep an eye on this young fellow, he said, when he finished his examination. Sometimes we doctors, despite all of our years of training and experience, can only marvel at how little we really know. Mrs. Lambchop said she thought Stanley's clothes would have been altered by a tailor now. Would have to be altered by a tailor now. So Dr. Dan told his nurse to take Stanley's measurements. Mrs. Lambchop wrote them down. Stanley was 4 feet tall and about a foot wide and a half and an inch thick. And that's the end of the chapter.
Yay. So this one's like a short chapter book.
Mm-hmm.
Children's chapter book. All right. So I think we'll each read one more. And I think rather than the Bernstein Bears one, I think I'm going to read a couple chapters.
Give me that then. I'll read it. I used to collect Bernstein Bear books.
Yeah, we used to have them too.
I used to get them in the mail every month.
Yeah, they were awesome.
It was great. I sold all of them. I'm so mad. I should have kept them. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, some other little kid could enjoy these. I should have kept them.
Well, it's like we used to have all those like DuckTale books and stuff too.
Mm-mm, I didn't have those.
So, but I think instead of that, I'm going to read a few short chapters from Judy Moody, Girl Detective.
I should have known.
So this is Judy Moody, Girl Detective, and there are a bunch of kinds of Judy Moody books, in case you don't know. It's a series. And it is by Megan McDonald and illustrated by Peter H. Reynolds. And this is the number 9 Judy Moody book, I think it says. Got a picture of a little kitty cat. And the first case in this book is the case of the bothersome brother. It was a dark and stormy night. Rain slashed the window, lightning flashed, and thunder crashed. Spooky shadows like giant teeth danced across the walls. Tick, tock. Tick, tock, went the old clock, thumping like a scary heartbeat, quiet as a ghost. She climbed the dark, dark stairs. In her bare feet, she tiptoed down the dark, dark hallway to the dark, dark door. She tapped 1, 2, and 3 times, signaling in Morse code. Just then, the door creaked open. Knock, knock. Ah! Screamed Judy from under the covers of her top bunk bed. She let go of the Mood Libs tablet she'd been writing in. It sailed through the air, bonking Stink on the noggin. Ouch! Yelled Stink, rubbing his head. Watch the brains. You're gonna give me an egg on my head. You already are an egghead, Stink, Judy teased. Well, you didn't have to throw the book at me. At least it wasn't the encyclopedia. That's what you get for scaring the pants off me while I was writing a spooky Mood Libs story. Why are you under the covers? It's the middle of the day. Nancy Drew says a person should never be afraid of the dark, so I was practicing. Why do you have a flashlight? A good detective always keeps a flashlight under her pillow. Does Nancy Drew do that? Hello? Haven't you read the message in the Hollow Oak? I'm not a Nancy Drew cuckoo head like some people.
Like some people.
Can I help it if I'm trying to read all 56 original Nancy Drew classics? Stink waved the Mood Libs book at her. Does Nancy Drew throw stuff at her brother too? Nancy Drew doesn't have a brother, but if she did, I'm sure she'd throw stuff if he scared the jeepers out of her. Jeepers? That's Nancy Drew talk, Stink. Get a clue. Do Nancy Drew mysteries have any stuff that blows up? Good mysteries have stuff that blows up, like boats or cakes or maybe exploding motorcycles. No, Stink. Nancy Drew mysteries have old clocks and hidden diaries, squeaky steps and stuff. Oh, said Stink. He did not sound one teeny bit scared. He sounded a teeny bit bored. But Nancy Drew mysteries do have stuff like exploding oranges and flaming rockets, spooky old mansions, lots of mansions, and they are all haunted. And one time, Nancy Drew almost gets crushed when the ceiling falls on her. Another time, she's chased by a phantom horse. She even gets strangled by a giant python. No lie! Exploding pythons are cool, said Stink, getting mixed up. Can I look at one of your Nancy Drews? Over there, Judy pointed to a pile of stuff on her desk, under my sock monkey. Stink lifted up the sock monkey. Under your sock monkey is a pillow. Under the pillow, Judy told him. Stink lifted the pillow. Under your pillow is nothing but a big fat dictionary. Under the dictionary. Stink lifted up the dictionary. It's a mystery just trying to find your Nancy Drew book. Under the dictionary was Nancy Drew book number 43, The Mystery of the 99 Steps. Why is it under all this stuff? Well, don't laugh, but... Ha! Judy is scaredy, Stink chimed. You hid it under here because it's scary. You're scared of Nancy Drew nightmare. Can I help it if I have an overachieving imagination? Asked Judy. I double dare you to read it in the dark. Stink shivered. See, Nancy's friend has this weird dream about these creepy 99 steps. So Nancy goes to France to try to find them and solve the mystery of her friend's dream. It's spine-chilling. Says so right in the back. Books don't lie, Stink. Maybe you'll have a bad dream from reading the book. Then I can go to France to solve the mystery of your bad dream and see the Eiffel Tower. The Eiffel Tower is so beside the point, Stink. But you just give me a genius idea. You just gave me a genius idea. I'm going to solve a mystery, a real-life Nancy Drew, scare-your-pants-off mystery, for sure, and absolute positive. What's the mystery? I don't know yet. I have to find one first. Do you have to go to France to find it? Stink, you don't have to leave the country to find a mystery. There could be one right in your own backyard. Stink looked out the window into the yard. All I see out there is your purple jump rope, a pink and white soccer ball, your bike with a flat tire, and the blue tent we use for the Toad Pee Club. The only mystery is why Mom and Dad don't make you pick up your stuff. Ha! Very funny. A mystery is out there, Stink. Maybe not in the backyard exactly, but it could be right under our noses. All we have to do is pay attention. Just like that, she, Judy Moody, went looking for a mystery. And I'm going to move on to the second chapter, and I think I'll end it here. Because it's a little longer than I thought. So, the mystery of the missing moose mice. If a person were going to solve a big fat mystery, she had to have a way official Nancy Drew detective kit. Flashlight, check. Notebook, check. Grouchy pencil, check. Pocket magnifying glass, check. Duct tape, check. Zip top bag, check. Let's see, Judy said out loud to herself. All I need now is a disguise, some money, and a French dictionary. She went into the upstairs bathroom and came back with Mom's makeup bag. Judy pulled out a tube of red lipstick. a compact, an eyebrow pencil, nail polish, tweezers, and a bobby pin.
Oh, cool, said Stink, coming into her room. Is all this stuff for a disguise?
Stink, don't you know anything about detective work? Everybody knows lipstick is for writing SOS messages.
Oh, I get it. Like if something exploded and your leg is pinned under a piece of metal, and you go to yell help in French, but you lost your French dictionary. You write SOS in red lipstick or something.
Or something, said Judy. Lipstick is good for fake blood, too. Like one time, Nancy Drew smeared lipstick and pretended she was bleeding to trick the bad guys so she could escape. There are tons of bad guys, like Snorky, Stumpy, Snigs, and Grumper. Stink snorted. They sound like dwarves, not bad guys. And in The Phantom of Pine Hill, there's an evil fortune teller named Madame Tarantula.
Madame Tarantula? Cool. Can I try writing in lipstick? Stink asked.
It's only for emergency, Stink, said Judy.
What about all the other junk? Stink asked.
The powder in the compact can be used to dust for fingerprints. And the little mirror is for spying on somebody. The eyebrow pencil is for this. Judy drew a quick mustache on Stink.
Hey, said Stink.
But instead of wiping his lip, he looked in the mirror. Judy held up a little black metal hair clip. Rule number one, never leave home without a bobby pin.
What's a bobby pin? Stink asked.
This baby is for picking locks. Can I try?
Knock yourself out, Judy said, handing him a bobby pin.
Judy loaded all the detective stuff into her backpack. Stink picked up Judy's secret diary, stuck the bobby pin in the keyhole, and turned it. The diary popped open.
Sweet, said Stink. It really works.
Judy looked up. Give it, she said, grabbing the diary back. You sure Nancy Drew doesn't have a little brother? Little brothers make good detectives, too.
I'm sure just a dad named Mr. Drew, her two best chums, George and Bess, her dog Togo, her cat Snowball, and a shiny blue way cool convertible.
Nancy Drew is old enough to drive a real car?
Tell me about it. Who wouldn't want to ride around in a convertible solving mysteries all day, Judy said.
Makeup? Check. There. I'm done.
What about the money? Where's the money?
You forgot the money.
No, I didn't.
Stink peered into Judy's backpack and pulled out a plastic bag full of coins.
Not my state quarters and my president dollars? I collected these forever.
Come on, Stinker. If I get locked in an attic or a closet or the trunk of a car, I've got to have some money to bribe the bad guys to let me out.
Just pick the lock with your bobby pin thingy, said Stink.
Judy shot him a sour ball stare.
Fine, Stink sorted through his coins. Here, you can have my American Samoa quarter, because I don't know where that is.
One lousy quarter?
That's not going to get me unkidnapped.
Okay, my Martin Van Buren president dollar, but only because he's not James Madison and because I don't know who he is.
Gee, thanks, Stinker Bell. Is it time to go find the mystery now, Stink?
Almost, said Judy. I'm hungry. I need a snack. Rule number one of being a good detective is never solve a mystery on an empty stomach.
I thought rule number one was the bobby pin thing.
Do you have to listen to everything I say?
Stink, turn around so you can't see where I hid my candy.
Stink had found the candy hidden in her sock drawer. Stink had found the candy hidden in her doctor kit. Stink had found the candy hidden in her 500-piece puzzle of the Tower of London. But no way would he find the candy hidden in her double-secret, triple-tricky hiding place.
Stink turned around. He covered his eyes. Cover your ears, too, said Judy.
I only have two hands.
Try not to listen, then.
Judy took out her Build-A-Moose that she had made at the mall with Grandma Lou last Christmas. Judy had filled his tummy with a bag of gummy candy instead of stuffing. She reached inside and pulled out an old striped sock.
Stink, said Judy. You'll never believe what I found. Stink turned back around and looked. A sock? He tried to sound fake surprised. Not just a sock, said Judy. A sock and a mystery. Right here in our own backyard. Stink did not say a word. Stink stared at the floor. A real life honest to jeepers, Nancy Drew, who doesn't have any brother's mystery. Judy waved the sock in the air. The mystery of the missing sock? Stink asked. More like the case of the stolen candy, said Judy. I hid a bag of gummy candy in my moose's tummy, but now the candy's not there. Presto, change o' gonzo, just like that. Stink scratched his head. He snapped his fingers. I bet Moose got into your moose and ate your mice. Interesting, said Judy. How did you know they were gummy mice, Stink? I said gummy candy. I never said gummy mice. Moose, mouse, mice? My tongue got twisted, and I know how much you like those gummy mice. More than gummy scabs and gummy frog legs. Stink, take off your shoes. Huh? Why? But just do it. Stink took off his sneakers. Aha! Just as I thought. You have two different socks on, and one of the socks you're wearing matches the sock. She held up the striped sock. The case of the one-striped sock-wearing candy stealer is solved. Stink, Moody, what do you have to say for yourself? I sure could use that lipstick now, said Stink. What for? For writing SOS. You said that when a person is in trouble, he can use the lipstick for writing SOS. And that's the end of that chapter.
Ooh,
yay!
That's cute. That's actually really cute.
Yeah, it's about Nancy Drew. I mean, Judy Moody talks about Nancy Drew. I really like Nancy Drew.
I know. That's why I said, like, some people.
All right. Your turn, Crystal. Are you going for the Berenstain Bears for your last book?
Yep. Because I was a Berenstain Bears kid. Hey. All right. The Berenstain Bears get the Don't Have To's by Stan and Jan Berenstain. Berenstain. Quite a long trip to Aunt Dorothy's. I think this might be a good idea for you to go to the bathroom. I don't have to. She's like putting on her little overalls, her pink little overalls. Now we'll be leaving pretty soon, and since we're already in the bathroom, I think you ought to at least try. I don't have to. Papa and brother are almost ready to leave, so this might really be a good time to go to the bathroom. I don't have to. She's just so over it. Like, her face is just like, ugh. No, I don't have to. All right? I really don't like to nag, dear, but we're leaving soon. I really think I don't have to. Now I'm sure, my dear, that Papa and brother won't mind waiting a few minutes while. I don't have to. Last call for the bathroom. I don't have to. And they're driving. What? I don't have to. She's like, I have to. Me too. So everyone in the car has to go to the bathroom. So they turn right around and go back home. Hey, everybody. Are you going to visit Aunt Dorothy or not? And so she's like, she's waiting on the stairs for everybody else to finish. That's cute. And the end.
Yay. So
I don't think I own that book.
Yeah, that one I thought was like a nice, really short one.
Mm-hmm.
Really simple Berenstain Bears one.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our selection of readings for you all today. And we hope you enjoyed it or that your kids enjoyed it. We fumbled some words.
Yeah.
But we tried our best. And so we hope you all enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy your weekend. And yeah, overall, just have a good time. Right, Crystal?
Yep.
So without further ado, that's it for us. Stay strong.
Stay sweet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.